There was a desire this evening to read, together with God's help, from the Epistle of Paul to the Philippians, chapter number 2. Philippians, chapter number 2, I desire to read the first 18 verses. Filipljanima, druga glava, prvi 18 brojeva. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. Dear ones, as we reflect upon our life in Christ, this past week I thought a lot about the call that we have, where we have direct exhortations, instructions from the Word of God that we would have, that we would be holy, as God is holy, that we would have the mind of Christ. We are exhorted to be righteous. Jesus says that if your righteousness doesn't exceed that of the Pharisees, he said you will in no way enter into the kingdom of heaven. So, if we are so ready then to consider, okay, so if God is calling me to be holy and righteous and to have a mind of Christ, why then do we so readily say, that's just something that I'm supposed to aspire to, but I can never attain, when the Word of God never tells us that? The Word of God never tells us that we... that this is just something that we should strive for, because in our striving, then we can be measured. Okay, I strove this much, I got this far to the holiness of Christ. or I got this close to having my righteousness that is better than that of the Pharisees, or I got a little bit closer than you did in having the mind. And so everyone who is ahead of me, that means I'm behind and I don't measure up to someone else. If that's how we can just break it down to, well, that's just something that we are to strive for but never attain. Well, that would be a pretty hopeless feeling. But what that also does then, in that hopelessness, and in that desire then to sin, we readily admit that we can sin because we're not perfect. And so we allow ourselves liberties in thought, in deed. We wander, and we never really can enjoy the full benefits of what it means to have a life in Christ. The Bible tells us that Paul says to the Romans, he says that we are to be conformed to Christ, to the image of Christ. So if we are being exhorted to be conformed to him, that has to bring us into a full realization of, yes, I can be holy because God is holy and he calls me to be holy. So if we look at the works of the Pharisees, why are their works so unrighteous? Because we have to know that all righteousness has to come from a character of holiness. There's nothing that you and I can do that is considered righteous. Or I can do the exact same thing as someone else, and to me, it could be considered righteous or unrighteous, and to the other, the complete opposite, the same exact deed. Because it's what is done that has to come from a character of holiness. That's why Apostle Paul talks about doing good deeds, that they do you no good when it doesn't come from love, a heart of love, because that is who God is. So we are called to love, we are called to holiness, we are called to righteousness, to a mind of Christ, because that is all describing who God is. And so when we look at this chapter here, Apostle Paul is exhorting the church in Philippi. He's writing from prison, and he sends Timothy and Epaphroditus to go to this church so they could bring back to him a report of them, and to also give the church a report of how he is doing. And if we just begin with the verse 27 of the previous chapter, he says, "Let your conversation be as it becometh." Okay, this is, he's exhorting, let your conversation or your life, let your life be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. That whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God. So this is what the gospel is. It's the evident token of salvation. And he says, "For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake." So he is exhorting them to stand fast. And he says, having this same conflict which ye saw in me, and now hear it, here to be in me. So they've heard that he is in prison. And he's telling them, you also be ready to suffer as I am suffering. And so this is This is what they are being prepared and instructed to. And he says, so now, if there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy. And he says that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. If we read in the previous verses that our conversation is to be as becometh the gospel of Christ, he says, be ye like-minded. And he goes on, he says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. And he goes, and later we read of Christ as that example. He says, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. You know, we can read this and, but how much do we really consider the weightiness of all of these words that we are being exhorted to? And he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So now the Apostle Paul is going to describe to us the mind of Jesus. Because he says, let this mind be in you. Which one? He says, the one that is in Jesus. And then he goes and describes it to us. So if we are to be conformed to the image of Christ, and we are to be holy, that doesn't mean that we are to that we are to be just striving, but knowing that I can never get to that point. He says, "Here's the mind that was in Christ." He says, "Who being in the form of God, he was in his pre-existent state." In other words, before Jesus came into this world, he says, "Who was the form of God?" He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He didn't consider it not a right thing to say that he is equal with God. He says, but what he did, he says he made himself of no reputation. And he took upon him the form of a servant. So, and was made in the likeness of men. So Jesus Christ came, and who was from all times, he now came into this earth, and he didn't, we know that in heaven there are cherubims and seraphims, archangels and angels, and he didn't take up any of them. He said he took upon himself the likeness of men. And so he emptied himself. He says he, now being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So this is the mind of Christ. And brothers and sisters and dear friends, I will say that if we have this mind, we will take on the character of holiness. And the deeds that we do will be those that are righteous, that are right in the sight of God. We cannot be holy and have any pride within us. You can't have holiness with pride. You can't, when he emptied, when he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, the death of the cross, the shame of the cross, and the suffering of the cross, Christ took on himself. And Paul is telling the Philippians, be ready also to suffer in the same manner as you see me suffering, as Jesus Christ himself did. But he did it for you and for me, so that he could redeem us from our sin. And this is what we don't truly take too much effort into really understanding, because he tells us here in verse 15, he says that you would be blameless and harmless, the sons of God. So if we say, okay, I am striving for perfection, I am striving to be holy, I'm striving to have the mind of God, the mind of Christ, but I will never attain that until I get to heaven. While he tells us, be harmless, be blameless. Well, we know we will be that when we are in heaven, right? We know we will be harmless and blameless. When we are made perfect in his presence and given our new bodies. But he says here, be blameless, be harmless, be the sons of God. Be the sons of God. Without rebuke. Where? Where am I to be this? In heaven? He says, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, here, on this earth, in this life, in this body that we have, be blameless, be harmless, be without rebuke, be sons of God. He says, among whom, and here, that you, among this perverse and crooked people and nation, that you would shine as lights in the world. So this is our call. This is what we were called to. And he is writing to a church here. He says, hold fast. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. So, brothers and sisters, if we are called to be blameless, okay, what does that mean? Well, if my deeds are righteous, I cannot be blamed. I can be blameless. Now, am I faultless? No. I can do something with great intentions. You can have a child come to you with great intentions, and if they present something to you, you receive it because it's coming from a blameless heart. But what you receive may not be perfect. There's fault in it. So there could be fault in things that we do, but if it's not coming from a heart that is deceitful, if it comes from a heart that has been surrendered to Christ, it will be received that way from our Lord. And we will not be able to be blamed as doing something for ourselves. Why? Because we have the mind of Christ that is fully empty of pride and self, and lives as the Lord who took on the form of a servant. We have to consider, who did this? Who took on the form of a servant? You know, we might consider it a big thing when we take on a form of a servant, when we stoop down to someone that is beneath us, and we humble ourselves to that. But this is Jesus who did this. This is Jesus who said, who did not think it was robbery to be equal with God, who emptied himself and took on the form of a servant and became flesh. And this is who we are called to look upon and to have our conversation, our life, as it becometh the gospel of Christ. My life cannot be My life cannot be this gospel of Christ if there is pride in me. When there's pride in me, I have no holiness. There's no holiness. And so everything I do is unrighteous altogether. My deeds are filthy rags. But the deeds of one who is holy as God is holy can never be as filthy rags, because it's coming from a blameless heart. One who loves his Lord, one who loves his word and the gospel, and he holds it forth and is always presenting it through his life. Always, that is the light. Because even as the brother prayed, is we are the temple, our bodies are the temple of the living God. So if God has cleansed me of my sin with his blood, he has washed me, and he has given me his Holy Spirit to dwell within me, how dare I say I'm only supposed to strive? So what? Then today I don't have to strive? As long as I end striving, it's okay. We are called. So now if I can't attain, if I can't overcome my sin because of my love for sin, because if I love my sin, that means that the love for Christ has to drop. Because when the love for Christ is burning, it will be in the manner in which Joseph displayed his hatred for sin and to do a sin against his God. And so when that love for our Lord is within us, how then can we say that I will shut a room into my temple, my body? How can I shut off the Holy Spirit from certain parts of my life? Okay, so I'm going to fulfill this law of God, and I'm gonna feel good about it because it connects me to Christ. That's how I feel. I can say I believe in him. I can worship. I know I believe in him. And I'm doing this because I'm a Christian. And we become content with that. We have a connection with Christ. We feel good with that. But then if I shut off his Spirit to the part of my temple, the room in my temple that wants to have some pride, will never, I'm not going to humble myself to that level. I'm not going to go to that level beneath him. Well, if I'm shutting off the work of the Spirit in my heart, then that which I have done in the name of Christ is filthy rags. And it becomes as the Pharisees did. Their good works are filthy rags. Good works, meaningless, without the Holy Spirit opening every room within our temple, our heart, for the Holy Spirit to direct and guide us into all gospel truths, where I will never shut him off and his power to work in me. And so we're being called here. He says, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So even when you have a will to serve him, that comes from God. And now the power to do that, it comes from God. So if I am living in sin, if I live in sin, I am not blameless. I am not blameless. I am not harmless. And the light that is to shine to the world has been covered up by sin. How can I hold forth the word of life? How can we do that, brothers and sisters, dear friends? The word of life, the word which became flesh, Jesus, how can I hold him forth and say, I can sin? All of my righteousness has to come from holiness, or it is not righteousness. It's me working. It's me doing something to cover up sin, which we know that we can only do that at the cross, where we die to sin. We die to ourselves. And the blood of Christ washes us, cleanses us. His Holy Spirit indwells us. And we're given a new life. And this is that And this is how Paul is saying that he will rejoice in the day of Christ, that have not run in vain when you do these things. So in this body of verses, let this mind be in you, through verse 11, we see the content of what Apostle Paul is writing to us. What did God do when Jesus Christ humbled himself and became obedient unto the death of the cross? He says, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. So what is this bowing? What does it mean to... So if we say, let's pray, let's bow before our God, that's a way that we speak of prayer. Let's bow our hearts, we bow. He says here that that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Come into submission. Does the name of Jesus bring me to submission to him? Because when we submit to him, we no longer have our own will. We no longer live for self. How can I have any pride within me as I come into submission unto Jesus? And so, as we are being called here to submission, he says that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. If I say that Jesus is, if I confess that Jesus is Lord, God says, by the prophet, that I am tired of your lip service. So if we claim Jesus is Lord, but refuse to submit, see, that's again what we do. That's what Satan does. He gives us that connection to Christ. Say it. Bow the knee. Say it. But submission, you can't really get there. You really can't get there. Look at the holiness of God. You can't get there. God instructs us, be holy as I am holy. And the only way any of us can accomplish that is through Christ. And how's that done? It's done through loving him and submission unto him. Where I am nothing. I am nothing. And he is my Lord. He is my God. He is my all. And I live a life of submission. And my mouth confesses. And I can bring forth the word of life, the gospel of Jesus Christ. The light of Christ shines within me then, because he is my God. He is my Lord. I've submitted unto him. To the glory of God. So God is glorified when this is what I do. And so we live our lives day to day. We days rolling on into weeks and months and years, and we can't even fathom. Those of us who are old enough to just think of the turn into the year 2000, that was 23 years ago. All the fears and everything was talked about. That's 23 years ago. It's hard to even imagine. That's how time is rolling by. And how are our days spent? How are our weeks spent when we think of what we're being called to? Jesus Christ took on the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Why then would it be hard for me to humble myself, to be void of every ounce of pride, to be able to recognize pride instantly when it rears within me, and to recognize sin in its infant stages. So we don't let it grow into a point in my life where I will think it's okay because of the grace of God. And I'm under the blood. You see what we're being called here to? This is a life of sanctification. This is a life of sanctification. Holding forth the word of life. We can't do that, brothers and sisters, without submission and absolute surrender unto him. Let's think how in the councils of eternity, God said, I will take on flesh. I will humble myself and take on the form of a servant in the likeness of men. And I will show them a pattern of life that is guaranteed victory. You see, Jesus already defeated Satan. He doesn't have to defeat him. He did. And so we just need to open the door to our heart to him and let his spirit roam freely throughout every cavern, throughout every portion of our heart, and let him evict everything that is evil within me for his praise, for his glory, and my salvation. And so, dear ones, when we are called to something, let us never excusify and say, that's just a call that I can never attain. Because God would never call us to something that he would not empower us to overcome and to be victors. So my prayer this evening, dear ones, that each one of us would consider this, what the Apostle Paul is encouraging, exhorting the church in Philippi and us today to shine forth as lights in a sin-sick world, a perverse nation. That's what Paul describes it as. We have to shine forth as lights, a light that is not hidden by sin, where when we speak, we can't be blameless. We can't be blamed. We have to be blameless. We have to be harmless. Those things that we do have to come from a heart that has been born again and made holy by Jesus Christ himself. Amen.
It's such a comfort that when we come together, we don't hear philosophy, we don't hear simply theology or some theory, but we hear the Word of God, just as He would have us to know it, that there is power here in the Word of God to change lives and to allow us to be as Christ was. And so we were exhorted this evening, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. That's the exhortation. And we can lay that to heart, and there will be great, great blessings when we do so. What did Christ say? Learn of me, for I am meek. I am meek. And he displayed that in leaving the splendor of heaven and taking on himself the form and the fashion of a man that he might redeem us. Take on this mind of Christ. He humbled himself. He became meek. And so he taught us, and Jesus said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And do this with your whole heart, because he says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall be called the sons of God, for they shall see God. Having that purity of heart, no blemish, no alloys, no nothing that is there as well with what God would have us to do in having that mind of Christ in fullness. And so Christ humbled himself, and he took upon himself the form of a man. Jesus taught us that he who exalts himself shall be abased, but he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And that's just exactly what the Apostle Paul wrote here in Philippians chapter 2, that Jesus Christ humbled himself, but God exalted him, hath highly exalted him, and gave him a name that is above every name. And so if we have this mind of Christ, God will likewise exalt us. But we have to have that purity of heart that we would be meek in all things, as Christ was meek, that we would follow him and have his mind. And then it's no problem. It's very, very easy to do these other things. We can esteem others better than ourselves, no problem. We have the mind of Christ. We're following in his meekness. It's no problem. I can esteem others better than myself very, very easily. I can do all things without murmurings and disputings. No problem, very easy. Because I have the mind of Christ. And he is operating in me. And it is God doing these things that we might be able to do and to will of his good pleasure. So may God grant us this grace, that with purity of heart, we might be able to fulfill what he has asked of us to fulfill, and having the mind of Christ. Amen.